This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to part 6 of our series, A Blast from the Past, Seerah in the 21st Century. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us complete yet another Taraweeh in this blessed month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadah. Ameen. And all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bringing us together in this blessed place, a place dedicated towards salah and the recitation of the Holy Quran, and a place dedicated towards having discussions related to several Islamic related projects, and a place related or a place that has in it the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and circles of knowledge. It has in it moments in which the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shared. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these blessings, and we praise Allah for choosing us to witness and experience these blessings. Indeed, he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the man who you and I are studying in this series today, he says, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ. An amazing hadith. Hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there's no group of people who come together in a house from the houses of Allah. يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, they read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ, and together they learn lessons from this book. And our study has some relationship to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that the first place of study of the seerah is the Qur'an in our first session together. And we said that we must study the seerah to further understand the Qur'an. Right? وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ, except that Allah gives, no one does this except that Allah gives them four blessings and four rewards and four gifts. What are these gifts? Number one, إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, except that Allah causes sakina and peace and contentment to befall this gathering. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and Allah causes this gathering to be engulfed in the mercy of Allah. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and Allah appoints angels to surround this gathering. Allahu Akbar. This is a blessed gathering indeed. Angels do not attend any gathering except blessed ones. This is a blessed gathering, and we are surrounded by angels. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. And then the biggest prize of all, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah mentions the people of this gathering to the angels. Allah praises the people of this gathering to the angels. Subhanallah. Imagine how proud we are when our parents praise us, when our bosses praise us, when our principal or teacher praises us. It gives us some form of elation, some form of happiness, right? A report comes in from the auditing body, the body that checks our performances, and it's a good report. How proud do we get? We get happy, right? Good reviews come on LinkedIn, even if it's our colleagues. They endorse you. What happens? You feel happy. You feel happy, right? a company that you visit writes into your company and says, you know, this person you send, please keep on sending them. They've been amazing. How happy do you feel? Now imagine if the King of Kings, Lord of the Worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, Al-Ahad Al-Samad, Al-Ladhi Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad, Wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises you to the angels. How amazing is that? May Allah praise us to the angels. Ameen, ameen. So this is a blessed gathering and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for that. And even for my brothers and sisters on the live streaming, you are included as well. You are included as well because you are technically in a house from the houses of Allah and you are most definitely part of this gathering. Our Shaykh Sa'ad al-Shidri Hafidhahullah, he says this hadith also encompasses those who study online. Who study online. This hadith encompasses them as well. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday, my dear brothers and sisters, we were discussing the early years of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his journey to the countryside. And if you recall at the beginning, I mentioned to you certain names that I wanted you to remember, such as Barakah, such as Thuwaybah, such as Halima, such as Amina, such as Muhammad, such as Rabi'ul Awwal. Do you remember that? I said, take heed of these names. And the reason why I said that is because we're taking lessons from the seerah. If we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, the people around him had amazing names. Amina, which means, refers to protection and security, and someone content. Amina. Then one of his carers, Barakah, blessings. Then you have the one of his foster mothers, Thuwaybah, which refers to rewards. Then you have Halima, his other foster mother. Halima, somebody soft, somebody gentle, somebody caring. Then you have his name, Muhammad, the praised one. Then you also have the month in which he was born, Rabi' al-Awwal. Rabi' refers to this type of spring, this happy moment where things flower. Right? Amazing names. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayh, he says, everybody has a portion of the names that they carry and the names that they're surrounded with. We take this lesson. The lesson of being careful and particular with the names that we choose for our children when we name them. This is what we learn from this event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to choose good names for our children. Some people, mashallah, they have amazing methodologies in choosing their children's names. You hear names, you say, subhanallah, where did you get this name from? It's as if, you know, they just open the mushaf, close their eyes, flicked a few pages, and then just, you know, Tayyib, Shaytan. No. Shaytan is not a good name. Let's try it again. Right? It's as if we're just picking names from anyway. This is just a lighthearted moment for you all. We should choose the best names for our children. The best names for our children. Names which have precious meanings. Names. Even better if the name was the name of a great man who walked the face of this earth. Muhammad, Ahmed, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And before that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blessed names, Musa, Ibrahim, Allahu Akbar. What will make you understand this name, Ibrahim? Yusuf, Allahu Akbar. Beautiful names. Today, we say, no, you know, those are old-fashioned names. You know, Sheikh, give us a name. Say, what did you have, a boy or a girl? A boy. Why don't you name Abdullah? Well, that's a bit old-fashioned, Sheikh. We want, you know, the current names. The in-fashion names. What are the in-fashion names? Like, I'm not a trend follower. Wallahu a'lam. What's in fashion and what's out of fashion, right? And today you find, subhanAllah, we give our children names. If you Google these names, they're the names of the biggest singers and people of fasad out there, Allahul Musta'an. Yes, they have a nice tune to it. But in reality, as this great scholar said, everybody has a portion from the name that they carry. Choose names of people that were the giants that walked the face of this earth, so your child can grow up and anticipate being like the person who made his name famous. This is what we learn from the seerah. It's not about old-fashioned names. Be substantial. Remember we spoke about in one of the lessons, personality versus character. What do you want? To be a personality, or do you want to be shallow? Or do you want to have character and be a person of substance? So we are a portion of the names that we carry. This was the last lesson that I wished to share with you yesterday, but time ran out. And alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us to cover this lesson today. Moving on, my dear brothers and sisters, we want to discuss today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, insha'Allah, we want to discuss the opening of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, we got to it. The opening of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This incident is very famous in the seerah. And there's more than one hadith which mentions this incident. There's slight differences in the narrative, and inshallah we'll try and take a couple. But the essence of the story and the narration is the same. The chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was opened. If we look at the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Anas radiallahu an, he says that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was playing with the other boys. And remember, we spoke about the countryside yesterday, that it was a stable environment and they were allowed to be children, to run around, to play. They weren't any obstacles that stopped them from free play, like caravans coming into the city and leaving the city. Makkah is a small place, right? So he was playing with his foster brothers and the other boys. And he says that Jibreel took hold of him and threw him to the ground and opened his chest and took out his heart. You can imagine, yeah, when you obviously this is something we haven't seen, right? So we don't know exactly how it was, but if you think of a doctor that operates on you and so on and so forth, and the process and the intricacies, here you have this show, subhanAllah, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is upon all things able. Take him, put him on the ground, slip the heart, take out the heart. Slip the chest, take out the heart. Right? This is what Jibreel did to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of all angels, the king of the angels, the boss of the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam. A mighty angel. There's certain matters that are specific to Jibreel alayhi salam, such as revelation. And we know the famous hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, he calls out to Jibreel. And Jibreel starts ascending the heavens. And the angels are all excited in anticipation. SubhanAllah, Allah has summoned Jibreel. What does Allah have for Jibreel? And Allah says to Jibreel, if Jibreel, I love this person, so love him. And then Jibreel starts descending the heavens. And as he descends, they start asking, what did Allah tell you? What did Allah tell you? A mighty angel. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. He has specifics that other angels do not. And Jibreel starts telling them, Allah told me that he loves this person and commanded me to love him. So the angels of those heavens, they want to have a portion of these gifts that go to Jibreel. So they said, we will also love him until the creations of the skies love this person. SubhanAllah. May Allah make us beloved to him and make the angels love us, instruct them to love us. Ameen. This is done, my dear brothers and sisters, by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not pleasing the people. Right? This is a footnote. And we all love footnotes. We please Allah and not the people. When you do that and the people are upset with you, Allah causes the skies to love you. And eventually, the love from the skies will be so overwhelming that the people on earth will be forced to love you as well. It's a win-win situation when you love Allah and live for Allah and do for Allah and leave for Allah and speak for Allah and remain silent for Allah and worship only one Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel alayhi salam took out his heart, and from there he took out a clot of blood and said, this was the shaytan's share of you. And then he washed his heart in a vessel of gold that was filled with zamzam, this blessed water that was from the barakah of Ismail alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he put his heart back in, and or he put the heart together, returned it back to its place. Now when this happened, the boys immediately, obviously this was crazy. I mean, you know, as some of the youth say in some countries, they go, this is sick. You know that? I went to the UK and I was saying, they go, Sheikh, that's sick. I said, really? You mean that's bad? I said, no, that's very good. I said, really? Sick means good? They say, yes. When you say that's sick, that means it's good. So anyway, mashallah, sign of the times, isn't it? The evolution of language. You know, when we were growing up, there was slang as well. And our teachers used to tease us. They say, you know, when you guys grow up, I don't know what type of sheikhs you guys will be. You know, what speeches you'll be giving to your audiences, you know. All the slang words will be coming out. But subhanAllah, it didn't happen. When we learned the deen, it fixed us up. So they ran quickly to Halima. Obviously, she's in charge of him. This is something which no one can imagine. So she went to her and they said to her, or they went to her and they said to her that Muhammad has been killed. That's the first thing you think about. Somebody's heart has been taken out, he's been killed. And they went to him. Obviously, they all ran. Halima and these boys went to him and they saw that he had a discolored coloration of his skin, was slightly discolored. Anas said, Anas, the narrator of this hadith, says, I used to see the mark of the stitchings on his chest. Where they stitched his heart, I used to see it. Amazing, right? Anas was a companion. He passed away very late. If my memory serves me right, this is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. There was another Anas, but this is the hadith of the Anas that passed away very late. And this is the Anas that was in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for several years, always looking after his affairs. And he says that I was in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for so many years. Not once did he ever tell me, why did you do this if I did it? Or why didn't you do it if I didn't do it? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have another narration which is considered acceptable as well. And this narration says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I was being taken off by the women of Banu Sa'ad ibn Bakr, meaning Halima. So I went off with a son of hers, along with some of our goats. And this is a sign that Rasulullah, the scholars, when they look at this narration, they say he was 4 years old when his chest was cut. Why? They say because we cannot imagine a two-year-old or somebody younger than 4 years of age actually looking after goats or sheep, right? So the fact that in this narration he says we went out, it wasn't just about playing. We also took the goats or the sheep out to shepherd them. This is a sign that he was four. So in this narration we have a specific thing. The first one said he went out to play. This one tells us that there was something extra than playing, and that was also the fact that they were acting as shepherds to the flock, which means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was around 4 years of age, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He says sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we did not take any provisions with us. So I said, oh my brother, go and bring us some provision from our mother, meaning our foster mother. Not his real mother. His real mother was Amina. She was in Mecca. From our foster mother. So my brother went off and I remained with the herd. Then two white beings appeared in the sky. They were flying. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, كَأَنَّهُمَا نَصْرَانَ. It was as if they were two eagles. As if they were two eagles. He says, then one said to the other, is it him? Subhanallah. Imagine how vibrant this narration is. Right? There's a lot of adjectives in it. I mean, there's a lot of description. Is it him? So the other said, yes. So they hastened immediately and took hold of me and threw me upon the ground on my back. And then they split my chest and extracted two black cloths from it. And one of them said to his companion, bring me ice water. And he washed my insides with it. Then he said, bring me snow water. And he washed my heart with it. Then he said, bring me tranquility. And then he planted it in my heart. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'inna al-qulub. Huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed it is with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts become tranquil. In this narration, he says, this angel said, bring me tranquility. And it was planted in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then one of them said to his companion, right now, sew it up. So he sewed it up and sealed it with the seal of prophethood. Then one of them said to the other, place him upon a scale and place 1,000 of his nation upon another scale. Allahu Akbar, upon the other scale. To show the relevance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this globe and on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger says, so I saw 1,000 people above me and I feared that some of them were going to fall upon me. And he said, if his whole nation were weighed against him, he would outweigh them. They were having a conversation between themselves, like doctors have when they're operating on you. You don't know, you're sleeping, right? You're under anesthetic. They're talking, you don't know what they're saying. Maybe they're talking about dinner last night and you're thinking, if you're awake, you'll be super scared. Say, subhanallah, you're cutting my heart and talking about last night's dinner. Casual conversation, right? Wallahu a'lam, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what they're doing. Inshallah, it's more serious than that. But what do you get from this? The angels are having a discussion here, right? So he says, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is witnessing this. He says that they said, if his whole nation were weighed against him, he would outweigh them. And then they went off and left me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I became very scared and I went back to my mother and informed her of what I had experienced. So I wish that I had been mistaken for somebody else. He didn't know what happened to him. So he hoped, you know, sometimes mistaken identity, right? Somebody knocks your door, the authorities. You say, hey, I hope this is mistaken identity. Because I've done nothing worthy of whatever, you know, of authorities knocking on my door, right? So inshallah, ya Allah, make this mistaken identity. That when it's done, it's done. Right? Inshallah. So he went running hoping this is mistaken identity. And she told him, I entrust you to Allah's protection. So she prepared a camel of hers for riding, placed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the saddle and rode behind me until we reached my real mother, Amina. Then she said, I have fulfilled my trust and my responsibility. And she told her what had happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she says, this never alarmed the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What would happen to a parent? Heart attack. Really? Are you serious? I think you're having a delusion. What do you mean a heart was taken out, put back in, person's in front of me, everything's looking fine? You sure you're not deluded? You're not, what do they say? You know, when you fuzzy in the mind, right? Right? No, she wasn't alarmed. And she said to Halima that when he came out from me, I saw light which shone and revealed the palaces of Sham. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The scholars have a bit of discussion regarding this this light that came out of Amina and which lit up the palaces of Sham and exactly when it happened. But this is not our discussion right now. The fact is, this is what she said, right? In this particular narration, which means she was prepared to accept that this son or this child is a special one. Like Ya'qub alayhi salam learned when Yusuf alayhi salam was young, that this son is a special one. Now, as we said, according to the correct opinion, this happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 4, right? For the reason cited, the fact that he was, in the second narration, we learned that he was actually acting as a shepherd to the herd, right? There is another time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his chest was open. When was this? During the Isra and Mi'raj. During the Isra and Mi'raj, we have authentic narration that states that his chest again was opened, the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we learn many lessons from this incident. Let's take a few. Firstly, we learn, brothers and sisters, the preparation of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for prophecy. He was being prepared. Everything that was happening to him was preparation. And we discussed in our last episode that he was being prepared for prophecy before he was born, because he was born as an orphan. So he was already receiving a life different to others. His experiences were different. His maturity, or his levels of maturity, were most definitely greater than others, right? And this preparation continued, such as in this incident. Now, this teaches us something very important. That if you and I want greatness, we don't want to be mediocre. We don't want to be average. We don't want to be like everybody else. We want to have greatness. Then you have to start early. It requires an early start. Those who have kids, we have ambitions for our kids. We are allowed to have ambitions for our kids. Yes, they must make the major life decisions by themselves. We must guide them and equip them to make the decisions. Who should they should marry? What profession they want to take? What degree they want to study? We should guide them, help them make the right decision. But the decision should be theirs. But every parent does have some form of wish and dream for their child. It could be you want your child to be a hafiz. It could be you want him to have extra special manners. It could be you want him to be so close to Allah. A child that tears for the sake of Allah. These are general ambitions. These are ambitions that do not pollute the child's ability to be independent. In fact, it will always be good for the child to have this. And this is important, good character, especially my dear brothers and sisters. Before even becoming a hafiz of the Quran, many parents ask me, we want our child to become a hafiz. I say, why? I want to understand, what's your thought process? Rather you teach him good manners, that's compulsory. Becoming a hafiz isn't. And if you can do both, then that's better. But I just want to bring your attention to something which is overlooked, good manners. Subhanallah, how many huffaz do we have that don't have good manners? Wal-iyadu billah. They don't represent the Quran that they carry. May Allah protect us and forgive us. Allahul musta'an. They think they're doing good and they're getting sinned. They're receiving sins for it. This is true, brothers and sisters. You know, our scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, teach us that not every dhikr is a means of getting reward. Some dhikr, you get sins for it because you've done it in an innovative way. In a way that's considered bid'ah. Or you've done it for some other reason other than Allah. That's why I tell the brothers, you know, sometimes you're sitting in a gathering, something happens and someone shouts, takbir, and everybody, Allahu Akbar. I tell them, brothers, hold on. Why are you saying Allahu Akbar and why are you saying takbir? Is it just raw excitement, or are you remembering that you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And remembering Allah comes with adab. It has its adab as well, right? It has its adab. As long as you remember you having adab and doing it, that's fine, right? It's important that we remind the ummah. So it doesn't just become fashion. Sometimes it becomes fashion. We forget this is dhikr. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, many a reciter recites the Quran and the Quran curses them. Our scholars say, they don't look after the correct recitation of the Quran, the tajweed, the makharij. They don't look after the message of the Quran. The Quran says, wa aqimu salah, and observe the salah, and they're far away from the salah. The Quran is calling you to good character and you have bad character. May Allah protect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His character was the Quran. The Quran nurtured him. We know that in the month of Ramadan, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ajwad an-nas. He was the best of people. He had the greatest quality in his worship. He had the greatest quality in everything that he did. The Sahaba say, and in Ramadan he was even better. If you thought no one could top it, he would top it even in Ramadan. And I pondered over this, my dear brothers and sisters. I've pondered over this because there's another narration which says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ramadan, he would revise the Quran with Jibreel. This was a mighty revision. And we know his character was the Quran. He was nurtured by the Quran. So if he's revising the Quran with Jibreel, surely this is going to bring about a different level of excellence. Thus he was more charitable in Ramadan, even more kinder and so on and so forth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So we ask Allah to protect us from being amidst the group that lack diligence with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming back to the point, you have ambition as a parent. You want your child to be a hafidh, not just an average hafidh, a great hafidh, not just to have average character, great character. When does it start? When does it start? In the case of children, when do you think? Huh? Before they're born, yes, before you even got married. It starts by making dua and then choosing the right spouse.